I brought tissues. For everyone. Virtual tissues.
Virtual tissues.
Jamie, we have more programs coming up in the new year.
You have more?
Well, you know what? I just made a big assumption that you're sad because it's our last call. You could be sad about anything.
No, I'm sad because it's our last call.
Okay. There's Randy. Hold on. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to go ahead and honor the beginning of our call with a grounding. And who would like to jump into our final opportunity to do this together today? Anybody?
I would do it if everybody wants to go to the beach again.
You did it last week, right?
Who, me? Joyce?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think so. I've done it 3 times, though.
Okay. Is there, I'm not keeping track of who's doing it. Does anybody feel called to guide us into a space of intention and stillness for just a few brief moments? Okay, go ahead, Randy.
Okay. I'm not a yoga teacher. That's why I feel a little self-conscious, but I'm really happy to do it.
So let me invite you to take that hat off as a yoga teacher and just be you and just be a coach.
Okay. I will put that hat off.
This is what you'll do with your clients. So it's just practicing.
Yeah, good. So from where you are, just take a deep breath in. Let it out nicely and slowly. Just feel the feet on the ground. Maybe your seat in the chair. Just allow yourself to relax and be here in this moment. Take another deep, slow breath in through your belly. Release it out gently. And just recognize that our time together here is for you and your own well-being and the well-being of all of us on this planet. Namaste.
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 Wow. That was absolutely perfect, Randy. You can lead into my yoga class anytime.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our final call together. I just told Jamie I brought virtual tissues because she's sad. But anyway, we'll have plenty of time to give some closing remarks and sort of bring this our time together to a close in terms of our agenda. I wanted to let you know that Carla had to fly back to Holland. She will not be with us today. She's helping in the healing of a friend who's having a kidney transplant. So it will just be the six of us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we will begin our Coach to Coach session today at 10 minutes till the top of the hour, because I want to give a little bit of time and space for some closing comments and conversation. All right, so let's go around the entire circle. And if you're not talking, place yourself on mute. And I want everyone to take just, again, up to about 90 seconds if you need it. And we're going to share. I still hear a little bit of background noise, so you guys can mute if you're not speaking. Thank you. Take 90 seconds if you need it to do the homework piece. Reflect on the 12-week journey and the impact it has had on you, either personally, professionally, spiritually, and again, just knowing that we will have a little bit more time at the end if you don't feel like you get in everything, but just a little bit of reflection. Hopefully you did the homework, and I would love to hear your shares with the group. And everyone will have a chance to go. So who wants to jump in?
This is Jamie. I'll go first.
It's Joyce.
Okay. We're going to have Jamie go first. Joyce, you'll go.
Oh,
next.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
No worries.
So I realize for me this experience just has given me a lot of confidence, and that has been a combination of the work that we have done together as a class, as well as the work that my buddy and I have done together outside of class, as well as my own practice with the coaching. And it really has been wonderful to receive feedback. And I honestly, although I've been practicing coaching / peer support for quite some time, I now feel competent enough to really move myself along a professional line as far as coaching goes. So it's just the beginning, and I'm looking forward to more, but I really feel like I'm in the stream. I stepped fully in. So it's
wonderful.
Been great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Jamie. And again, being mindful, we'll keep this succinct here. Joyce, you want to go next?
Well, there's been growth for me over the 12 weeks in every area, personally, professionally, spiritually, of course. And it has been the awareness that I've had in all of these areas that has made me look a little deeper. I find that I can always talk a great story, but continue to fall back into some old patterns. So I'm more aware of that, and I'm trying to ask myself some powerful questions. So that, I think, has been the biggest. I mean, things that you know I've read about years ago, I'm, again, paying attention to. Professionally, I this was curiosity for me. It's something I thought I always might like to do but wasn't sure. Now I'm into it, like Jamie. I've gained the confidence, especially working with the clients that I have, where I feel like I can make a difference and want to make a difference, and I'm going to pursue it a little further on whatever level that might be.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Joyce. Who would like to go next?
I can go. Christine.
Yeah, thank you. And then Randy, you'll go next.
Okay. Professionally, I think it's like Joyce and Jamie, it's given me confidence. It's always something I thought I would be able to do, and now I really feel like I can do it. And personally, I signed up for a different class. It was a yoga class. It was an online yoga class at the beginning of the summer. And it was a class I really wanted to take for a very long time. And it had ended up being, it was a great class, but it wasn't good for me right at this point. It would have been great for me 4 years ago. And so it was very disappointing, and I ended up dropping out. So I started this one with a little bit of nervousness. How would it be? Would it? And it's been wonderful. I've learned so much. It's been really great.
It's really nice to hear. Thanks, Christine. Randy?
Yeah, so for me, I think it has been just a wonderful opportunity to see how this fits in with the other modalities of therapy and consulting, mediation. And I've gotten really clear on what coaching can do and being able to practice with, you know, 20 sessions has given me a very practical sense of actually how it works and how people respond and resonate with it. And it's been really, really fun, especially working with, you know, the woman I live with who's a psychotherapist herself. And, you know, we talk therapy all the time. So it's kind of nice and refreshing to really dive into a little bit of the other side where people are focusing more on their life goals and just that idea of focusing on possibility. And as I shared with Jamie in one of my buddy calls, my great-grandfather, who was a pretty well-known businessman, he was a coach himself, and so it's been nice to sort of tap into a little bit of the family lineage and recognizing how much I enjoy it too.
So great to hear as well. Sue, why don't you go next, and then we'll take Genevieve, and then we'll get into our agenda.
Hi, Sue. I'm very grateful that I feel like I've been able to be a better listener, and I've zeroed in on my strengths. I approach people more confidently. And I've had a great buddy. Joycey was a great buddy. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm trying to keep my approach simple. I'm calling it simple stupid, but it's not really simple, but it's more simple than how I used to approach and how I used to try and communicate with potential clients.
Awesome. Thank you. Genevieve, I'm not sure where you came in, but we're just spending a minute or so reflecting on the homework or 12-week journey and how it's impacted you on any level.
Okay, yeah. Definitely doing the 20 sessions was, it seemed like a lot of work running around and trying to get everyone in, but it was, you know, obviously very useful and helpful to be a better listener, to really have your ears open. And the coaching model, I appreciate you know, how you really honed in or specified that it's not your agenda, it's a client's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, as I think most of you can tell, that was really my challenge with, you know, not, I'm just having it be the client's agenda. I think that's going to be my challenge. But, it made me a better listener for sure.
Great.
And so I got, I don't know if I should tell you, but I'm going to be taking BART. I don't know if I'm going to have reception or not, but for me being the coach, I don't know how that's going
to
work.
I already responded to your email. We've got Joyce coaching.
Okay, got it.
So,
okay. All right.
No worries. Don't stress about that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you,
everyone. So what I heard from that share is a lot of competency, awareness, curiosity, confidence, clarity, better listening skills, simplifying. So those are some wonderful tools to take away from this 12-week journey. And not only myself, but all of us at CTA are always interested in hearing feedback and how what we're doing is working and where we can grow more around our edges. And again, we'll complete this call by pulling it all together at the end with those kinds of dialogues. So thank you for starting us off in that way. just to give you a brief roadmap of where we're going today, we're going to talk a little bit about a few sections in the book that you read. And then we're going to also talk briefly about sort of the application process, meaning how do we apply all these things that we learn, and talk a little bit about the business end of coaching, sort of setting yourselves up and charging and what you need and things like that. Just to begin the conversation, obviously there's a lot that would go into that dialogue. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of time to go into too many details, but also know that whatever isn't covered in our session together could easily be continued by reaching out to me if you have more questions. And then we will drop into our coaching model about our coach session about 10, let's see how it goes. 10, I'm aiming for 5 till the hour to start so that we'll have time for these closing remarks. Okay, so let's turn to page 195 to begin in your manual. And we're going to talk a little bit about possibility thinking. And I feel like at this point, it's not new learning. It's almost like solidifying the learning and just sort of immersing yourself in the really important pieces as to how this collaborative process works. So on page 195, it talks about possibility thinking. And I just want to discuss with the group number 4 and number 8. All right, we're just going to have a discussion around this. And I think we've established in the very beginning that coaching is about possibility thinking rather than, you know, working on things from the past and healing traumas. Just sort of creating a mindset in your client. What's possible from this place? And by asking powerful questions and listening, it's amazing what your clients will come up with when you open that doorway to possibility. So number 4 talks about, you know, challenging your thinking and assumptions. So I just want to share briefly, I went to Ojai, California this past weekend and had an incredible training with Off the Mat Into the World as they bridge their work with yoga and social justice. And there was a fire hose of information, so much that it's still, I'm definitely processing everything. But a big piece of social justice is how we make assumptions about other people or groups of people, certain populations, certain demographics, marginalized communities, and how we don't bring enough awareness around our own sense of privilege and how it impacts those communities simply by showing up in the ways that we do. So it's bringing conscious awareness. And I found that I was almost embarrassed by some of my assumptions that I made around how the way things work and how our systems work and how certain groups of people, I almost perpetuate the separation just by living my life on a daily basis in the ways that I do. So that was just a brief example, but or a heavy example, whichever way you want to use that. But I just challenge you as coaches to around your thinking and assumptions. And so I just want to read through this. Who would read through number 4 for us, please?
I will.
Thanks, Randy.
Challenge your thinking and assumptions. Interact with diverse people and keep an open beginner's mind rather than a quick foreclosure to a new idea. Life as a series of experiments keeps the system open to the new. Premature closure occurs by too rapid judgment, as well as moving a new idea into an already existing model to lose the context of a new model. This style of dismissal occurs frequently among very bright people with significant life experiences who immediately relate something new to something that they've already know, absorbing it into an old context or meaning without sufficient examination.
Thank you. So that's a lot of context to take in. But basically, let me just ask, and I'll give my feedback after. Randy, what's the takeaway for you around what you just read?
This idea of having a beginner's mind, you know, as a yoga person, and I've seen other people do that. They just are so quick at trying to connect it to what they already know, which can be helpful, but it also can be limiting, especially when they just stick with that rather than, yeah. So beginner's mind here is how quick it happens.
And we hear it all the time, right, in yoga. You know, the Zen tradition exemplifies a beginner's mind, encourages a beginner's mind. And here again, as we close our time together, we're still making parallels between yoga and coaching. So beginner's mind, a place where, you know, the slate is wide open, and to assume by our thinking or our past experiences that we know what this new model or this new path that the client's going to take is going to look like really kind of closes the door. So when you're thinking of possibilities, you want to remind yourself to stay open, to things that you know, stay open to things that you don't know, and see what shows up. Because it's in this free-flowing form that things emerge. Any other additions to how this shows up for you? Any questions around it? Just want to make sure that it's clear.
This is Genevieve. I have a question. Is that something that you might say to a client in the beginning? Or no? You just must let that unfold.
In terms of let's keep a beginner's mind, like encouraging them to be in that space? That's a great question. I can only answer from myself and my experiences. I haven't initially had that phrase in any conversations, but I certainly think it can be very appropriate in times of maybe stuckness, or in times of not knowing where to go next. And so at that point, I think maybe it could be a question. You could phrase it as a powerful question. So what would it look like if you looked at this from a beginner's mind? Or how would things change if you looked at this from a beginner's mind? So maybe formulate it into a question rather than framing the entire collaborative process from that space. Is that helpful? Okay, great. Great question. Anyone else? Okay. Let's turn to page 196, and we'll do the same with number 8. And who would like to read number 8, please? Page 196.
It's Sue. I'll do it.
Thank you, Sue.
The best way to excise something from your life is not to ignore it. The best way to avoid something is to be informed by it. By avoiding something, you engage it and keep it central in your life. To ignore takes energy and moves you from a centered, healthy place. Decide what you want to keep, what you want to avoid, and what you want to let go.
Great. And Sue, what is your takeaway from this language, this context, content?
Well, I guess it's best to just face things head on and to acknowledge it, to work through it, to talk about it, ignoring it, like it says, takes too much energy, just let go of what you can't do and have the courage to move forward from a nice, centered, healthy place.
Exactly. That's great, and that's right on. And I know that we've all heard the phrase, what we resist persists. So while we think, we mean the collective, you know, ourselves, our clients, whoever, that we are separating ourselves and moving forward from a place that we actually haven't healed, the universe is, you can actually count on it, that the universe will provide you an experience to where you can go back to that same behavior until you heal it. And until we move into that space of healing. Healing, I mean, in the sense of just recognition, awareness. I'm not talking about healing any major traumas, although that could be a part of it, but that's less and less a part of the coaching relationship. But just recognizing some of our limited beliefs that get in the way of us moving forward, that's really more of what this is saying, will detract from the success of the coaching relationship. I'd like to give another example, and funny how most of my examples are with off mat in the world, and that's because I'm really passionate about the organization, and I work very closely with all of them, and I consider them my teachers. So Sean Korn talks a lot about this in terms of the shadow versus the light, and I don't know if any of you have taken any of Sean's classes at any yoga journal conferences or any trainings you have, Sue. Anyone else besides Sue? I'm just curious.
Yes, Genevieve, I have. Amazing.
Yes, yes. Great. Well, it's just a plug. For Sean, so whenever you have a chance to be in her space, it's transformative in my own unbiased way. So she talks a lot about the shadow and the light, and that we have to not be fearful of going to our dark places, because we all have trauma. We all have a shadow side. But what we do is we shine the light on the wound. So we turn the light inwards and shine it on our wound, because that wound is our gift. And through the process of, you know, self-inquiry, yoga, all the mindfulness ways that we practice in the world, we can then step into our full light and be in pure potentiality, right? Then the world is everything is possible from that place. But unless we take the time to go and actually look at our wounds, which takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength. We'll never be able to fully step into our brightest light. And even to this day, when I talk about it, I get chills, because it's so true. And you can use that analogy with your clients. You can use it on the mat. You can use it off the mat, because at the end of the day, we are, you know, all the same. There is no separation. And so as human beings and living in this world, we all have our specific stuff that we're working on, but we all have part shadow and part light. Any questions, comments on number 8 or what I just shared? Okay, great. Then it sounds like that's pretty clear. Awesome. Let's move along. Page 197 and 199. So this is basically setting yourself up, moving towards, you know, your own goals. And we've talked about SMART goals a lot in this course. And it's just an encouragement to spend some time setting 6-month SMART goals and just giving yourself a roadmap for where you want to go. Dr. Dave talks a lot about this, brainstorming for about 45 minutes for all of the people that you know, right? Because it's all about relationships and building your business. So sitting down and brainstorming about all the people that you know, and, you know, finding your niche, talks about that a lot. You know, where's your interest? What are your passions? What's your experience? To cultivate a sense of if you all choose to go forward on this coaching path, and I certainly hope that you do, who do you want to work with? What kinds of populations? What are you already bringing to the table? Where do you need more education? Where do you need to be more fully resourced? And so the 6-month SMART goals can help you map that out. And also on page 199, you can just read through on your own his 16-step growth plan. It will just help, you know, clarify and envision where you're headed. Okay. Any questions on these two pages?
So you're suggesting to do a 6-month SMART goal. Is that why do you pick 6 months?
Well, I didn't choose that number. On previous calls that I've been on with Dr. Dave, who's one of my mentors, it's a suggestion. It's just a suggestion. If you got to figure out how you work best. Maybe you work best in increments of 1 month or 3 months. Some people do 6-month goals. They do yearly goals. So it's really just a suggestion as to making a little bit more longer term and fitting everything in there on a bigger vision, a greater vision of where you're headed to achieve your goals.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like the way you frame that. And then I can't remember if I've asked this before. I guess, is this up to a client to determine whether they want to focus on a 6-month goal? At what point do you either bring this up as an opportunity or an option?
Yeah, well, again, you have to feel it out with your client. I am such a supporter of the SMART goal process to keep people in action and to keep them moving forward. I think 6 months is challenging when you're just starting out working with someone. But you have to sort of get a sense of your client and where they resonate best, you know, in their way of thinking, in their way of showing up in their life. How do they structure and put a framework around their life? Are they
good?
On their goal. Well, in that process, well, maybe 30 days is enough for them. But as you build in the relationship and you strengthen that muscle in your client, step.
Great. You were cutting out a bit. Mm-hmm. Just to let you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Look. Three-month goals.
Mm.
Now you're cutting out a lot.
I didn't, this is Genevieve, I didn't hear anything you said about any SMART goals for the last couple minutes.
You guys hear me?
You're cutting in and out.
Oh, my goodness. I have not even moved. I hate when that happens. All right. Let me call back in because I don't want to miss this. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. How are we now?
Good.
Oh, my gosh. I said the most brilliant thing. There's no way I can repeat it. Just kidding. So all I was saying, I'll try to summarize, is that you have to get a sense of how your client works. Some clients are very goal-oriented, and they want that bigger vision, and that's the framework that they work best in. And other clients are overwhelmed by looking too far into the future. So I would say get a sense of your client and, work within what resonates with them. Maybe a 30-day or one-month goal is best for someone who gets overwhelmed very easily. And then as they continue to build that muscle of working with goals, maybe the next time around it's a 3-month goal. So it's really fluid. There's no set way that you have to structure this, but all I'm trying to remind everyone of is the system of setting SMART goals is really, really useful in this context.
Great. That's helpful.
Okay. Awesome.
Sasha, this is Joyce. Can I ask a question?
Of course.
I'm thinking of a client that I'm working with, and I have only been setting like the 1-week goal with her, the one little thing she says she will do that week. But then I remind her that we're really building on all of these things. It's not like 1 week you do this and the next week you let that go and the next week you do something else. It's like all of these are building on each other, and that will eventually get the major goal. Is that a way to work?
It can be. I would challenge you to challenge your client, because really that 1 week check-in, that's just a homework piece to keep your client accountable. And I would check in with them. A little bit of feedback, a little bit of background noise. Thank you. Just to challenge them a little bit, how would it feel? What would it look like? Can we create together a 30-day goal? What would that look like? And I'll be your support. And so I would challenge him or her. Let's just see how it feels.
Okay.
Great question. You guys there? Now I'm all paranoid. Okay. All right. And that paranoia is not something I really do. So page 201 and 202, and really this is just, the integration of the coaching tools and methods and the principles into the existing work. Just some important elements. Still a little bit of background noise. If you guys aren't talking, if you can mute, that would be helpful. Thank you. So as we talked about this entire 12 weeks, mentor coaches focus on solutions, co-creating opportunities, and the consistency of their focus. And so some important elements involved to mentor successful change, and you can see them in the middle of the page, all those bullet points, and I'll just briefly highlight some words in each sentence. So the things you really want to focus on to create change is establishing new behaviors, new ways of thinking, new insights and adaptations, and really being mindful to facilitate insight rather than to give advice. I think that's a growing edge for a lot of us. To focus on successes, next page 202, emphasize positive adaptive behavior and progress. So making small celebrations along the way. New mental maps, so keeping an open mind, beginner's mind, keeping people on track. Conceptualize, and you can also use visualization there. Redirect ideas and energy flow towards new ideas. So again, staying present to the journey that and the path that your client is taking. And remember that the power is in the focus. And that the permanent change really does arise from the consistency of that focus. So without that focus and that consistency, change is going to take a lot longer. Knowledge generated through insight changes the brain and the mind. We talked some about the neuroscience of the brain and the mind. And then finally, using new experiences as a storyline and part of an evolving identity. So using an outline to create these new experiences, a new story, and keeping their storyline first and foremost so that they can evolve into and on the path that they are calling out for. So where do they want to go? So it's just reminders that, you know, this manual will be with you always for you to reference. It's such an amazing resource. Any questions about?
I have a quick question about the term meta map.
Where
is
are
that,
you?
On page 202, it's the last point, conceptualize the meta map with the client in order to master and internalize the process.
Meta map is the big view, the big, I think of meta view, where you pull back sort of third person and you take a look at the entire picture.
Can you give an example of that? What that would look like when you're in within your coaching relationship?
I'm just trying to come up with something that would be applicable right now. So say your client wants to become a coach, right? So we'll use sort of this forum as an example. And to build that muscle, you know, they maybe want to enroll in this course and learn what it's like to become a coach, become certified. But at the end of the day, what is their truest contribution? How do they want to show up? Do they just want to be a coach? Who do they want to work with? What changes do they want to make? And what is the bigger vision? If they're working with their clients in this way, what changes do they want to envision around the world? Maybe it's a place of more connection in terms of all of us collectively, right? Maybe when we begin to have people think in this way and move towards their goals with awareness, with skills, with kindness, with compassion, everything that we embody on the yoga mat, how does that affect the world that we live in? So if you step back and really take a bigger vision of what it is that or why this person wants to become a coach, it can be simply, oh, I love coaching. I think it's cool. I want to help my friends and my family and my colleagues, you know, move forward and when they find themselves in stuck places. But really, if you sit down and take a look at it, I think people in leadership roles really enjoy empowering others to step into, not to be repetitive with framing these words again from off the mat, but to step into their brightest light. So how can they serve? And if we have so many more people serving in this way, how would it change the complex of our world? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that example resonates at all, but that was on the spot, and it's just stepping back into the bigger vision.
That's very helpful.
Sure. Go ahead, Jamie. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I said it did resonate. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, we're going to spend about maybe 10 minutes or less just sort of brainstorming around business tools that you guys might be needing or considering or wondering about to start a business, to start your mentor coaching business. So I already talked about brainstorming for 45 minutes around all of the people that you know. But really what Dr. Dave likes to say is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it is true. Really what you need to start is basically a landline, because most of the coaching sessions are done on the phone, a business card, and a business banking account. So I know it's sort of, there's so many more details that go into starting a business, but if we wait until everything that we think we need is in place and we're in a place of overwhelm, we'll never start. All of you on this call are already coaches. And if you want to step into this work, I encourage you to begin. Around the money piece is a challenging place that new coaches find them in. And you want to consider, when you're thinking about how much to charge your clients, consider the value that you bring to someone. Because most new coaches undercharge. And I get this question all the time, and people reach out to me all the time, even after, we're done with this 12-week journey. Is I don't know what to charge. What do you charge? And, for those of you that are yoga teachers, you can consider what you make as a yoga teacher. That might be a starting point. But I would invite you to really sit with what value that you bring to the coaching relationship and really step in to owning that, claiming it. Because if you're unsure, that vibe and that energy will be felt by your clients. So as you're establishing your business, think about what you want to charge and along with the other things, and then grow from there. I know that my fees have changed over the course of 5 years in private practice. And if you guys want to have more conversation around the money piece, and if you feel uncomfortable talking about it in a group setting, just reach out to me. I'm happy to have that conversation. But in terms of our dialogue here interactively with all of us, any questions around some of the things I just mentioned or starting your business?
Sasha?
Yes, Joyce.
Can you give just a range? I mean, I know a business coach would get a lot more than, just a range that seems appropriate.
Well, how about this? I will share that I charge a monthly retainer. And Dr. Dave always encourages not picking a number that ends in a zero. So people will automatically do the math and they'll do four into that number, right? So like four into, 200. But maybe doing it as, and 200 is just a random number. If you're going to charge, say, $600 for the month, make it $595. Nothing that's easily divisible by four. Without with the zeros on hand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh no, it does. So if you're charging them by the month, do they pretty much own you in a way? Like, can they contact you at any time? Or what are the guidelines?
Yeah, those are the parameters that you have to set up. I check in with my clients once a week. They know that I'm available in any kind of urgent situations, but you need to create those boundaries at the beginning, those agreements in the beginning, and that could all be done in your intake session, or I give a free 30-minute consultation to see if it's a good fit, and all those details are what we talk about in that session.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to be very clear on what you're willing to offer. So, no, I don't think anyone ever owns anybody. That, to me, doesn't sound like a collaborative relationship. That sounds like a hierarchy of power. And so you want to remember that both client and coach are equal. So set up those boundaries and those agreements. I prefer the word agreement before you start. And in terms of range, anywhere from, you know, $200 a month, meeting one time a week, so four sessions, upwards to the master coaches, you know, anywhere up to $800, $1,000 a month. And they pay for that up front, so they're committed to that month, and they, instead of paying per session. And it's amazing what happens to that commitment and accountability level when you know you've paid for it already. And when you talk about cancellation processes and all those agreements that you would come up with in the beginning. Okay.
Thank you. You're
welcome.
Sasha, what percent of the, your clients are in general are every week? And because I know a lot of the people that I have worked with really appreciate 2 weeks in between sessions to really get more accomplished. Have any thoughts about that?
Sure, and another great question. When I initially start with my new clients, I want to meet with them weekly for 2 months to get the relationship off the ground and to get them in action. As they start moving forward towards their goals and they're in action and they're in this consistency of working with their goals and working with their coach and things are happening for them, then it can expand out to 2 times a month. I've got a client that I've been working with for 6 months, and I encouraged her to, you know, I asked her, do you want to just still meet every week? She said, oh yes, I love the check-in. And it wasn't until the end of October that she said, well, I think I'd like to go to every other week now. And remember, you know, it's great to have clients for a long period of time, but if if success to me is defined by the client letting go of us, you know, and just checking in periodically, that means that they're unstuck. You've given them the tools to go out into the world and fly and really step into the work that's important to them for the reasons that they've come to you. So you can, again, just use your best judgment about when it's time to maybe space it out a little bit more. And they'll tell you, Randy, they'll tell you what works best for them.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome. We have time for one final question, if anyone has one. Okay, great. So we, as I mentioned in the beginning of our call, we are going to go into our coach the coach session 5 minutes early just to make sure that we have enough time for closing and just completing our call and our time together. So today, Joyce will be coaching Christine, and Jamie will be our observer. Would somebody please share the 5 steps of the simple coaching model before we begin?
I can do it.
Thank you.
All right. First, you specify the client's agenda.
Then you determine useful intervention moments by asking powerful questions. You shift the perspective, and then you frame the session, and then you do set up on.
Lost that last part, but I think you got it all. Okay, so Joyce and Christine will be the only ones unmuted. Everyone else mute, and Joyce, just give us a minute to get there. Watch your time. I've got 5 till the top of the hour, so you've got till about 10 or 11 minutes after, okay?
Hi, Christine.
Hi, Joyce.
How are you doing today?
I am hanging in there today.
Would you like to take a moment just to gather your thoughts?
I think that would be great.
Okay. All right. So why don't you close your eyes for a moment? Don't worry about anything at all. Just be present, and I'll be present, and we'll do this together. So can you tell me what's on your mind today?
Okay, well, I think what I might like to do today is to kind of brainstorm some ways that I can stay positive in light of negative people around me. I know that I cannot control anyone else's behavior. The only thing I can control is me and how I respond to things. Generally a pretty optimistic person. I'm not a Pollyanna person. I think of myself as a realist. But I'm struggling a little bit with other people's negativity. So I want to know, how can I stay positive when other people are being negative? I know I can't change them. I can only change me.
Well, that's absolutely. Staying positive around people, negative people, is a challenge for you. And my question, I guess, is, are there people that you have to be around?
They are.
Okay, so you have no choice but to be around them. So your challenge is, how will you stay positive?
Right. There's a lot of stress going on right now. Mm-hmm. I'm unemployed. My husband lost his job on the very same day as I lost mine. So we're both unemployed. And it's very stressful at the moment. There's a lot of positive things happening, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for me to stay positive sometimes. I get frustrated, too, sometimes, and that's not always acknowledged, I guess.
Could you tell me a little bit more about that? That you get frustrated also, but that's not acknowledged?
Okay. You know, I feel sort of like I'm the person in my family that says, hey, everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. It'll all work out. And if I'm struggling with that, it's like nobody else can step up and say that. So I'm trying to stay positive, because if I can stay positive, everybody else can more or less hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having a bad day and I'm cranky and everybody has those days, then everyone else kind of loses it. So I'm trying to keep myself positive.
Mm-hmm.
And the job search is frustrating.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lot of pressure that it is difficult enough to keep yourself up and positive, but I'm hearing that you're feeling that others may be depending on you to keep them positive as well.
Exactly. And that's certainly my perception of it at any rate.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you feel that that's really possible for you.
That's the role I've always filled. I've always done that. And I think maybe it's harder for me at the moment because I am unemployed myself. I'm going to school, and that's more challenging challenging than I expected it to be. It's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's harder than it was the first time around
right.
when I was 18. It's more difficult.
Yeah. I love hearing your positivity about school because I feel like in all these past coaching sessions, you know, I've heard a little bit about what's going on with you, and I'm so happy to hear that you're enjoying school. So can you tell me how you keep yourself positive?
I try to practice that self-care piece because I know that if I'm feeling okay, that's certainly a big part of it. And so I make sure that I'm coming to my yoga mat and that I am exercising and that I'm getting enough sleep and I have a meditation practice. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I know yeah. without that, I'd be lost. But even with all that, I'm still struggling a little bit.
Well, sometimes it's just not that easy. Things do happen. But it sounds like you're going back to the basics. You're going back to things that you know keep you grounded. Do you feel that there are some behaviors that others in your family could do to keep themselves grounded?
I do, and I'm not sure. I've had limited success with conveying that. And
mm-hmm.
like I said, I know I can't change other people. I can only change myself. I can only
mm-hmm.
control my reactions to things. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I've made some suggestions about, you know, that piece for other people.
And how was that received?
It was listened to, but the attitude sort of was, yeah, okay, but I can't really do that, or that doesn't apply to me, or it's different for me. So I felt that I was listened to, but I didn't necessarily
uh-huh.
feel that
right.
I was effective.
Something just occurred to me. It sounded like a coaching when you suggested these things to the people in your household. Does it feel like that a little bit?
It really did. It really did.
I am wondering if we could take some of these principles that we're learning and apply it that way.
How do you mean?
Well, first of all, it's very difficult to work with relatives and people you're close to. I have learned. I tried it, and I wasn't very successful. But it does resonate that these principles do work when you ask the questions instead of maybe telling them, you know, why don't you do this and maybe try this. If you just ask the questions, like, what's going on with them? How are you feeling now? Things of that nature.
If I could say something like, you know, if you felt you were being fully supportive, what do you think that would look like? It sort of pose it that kind of a way? Is that what you're saying?
All right. I'm feeling that you need something that you're not getting. Did I hear that correctly?
You did.
Okay, so can you ask for what you need?
I can, and I have been, maybe I've been too subtle in my asking. Maybe I need to be
mm-hmm.
more absolutely direct instead mm-hmm. of saying, you know, gee, I'm unhappy about cooking. Maybe I should say, can you please cook dinner once a week? Maybe I need to be more mm-hmm. direct in my asking.
Can you envision that?
It sounds wonderful. I can, and it sounds absolutely wonderful.
Uh-huh. I'm wondering if you could practice it. Like, practice it with me right now.
Okay. So I have a lot going on. I'm going to school and I'm looking for a job, finishing up my coach training. What would be really helpful for to me is, do you think you could cook dinner one night a week?
What do you think the answer would be?
I don't know. Based on experience, it would probably be, oh, I don't know, I suppose, maybe.
Well, let's practice one more time a little bit more directive.
Okay. All right. Practice is good. Okay. So, you know, I have all this stuff going on. I'm working really hard, but I'm kind of frustrated. I'm trying to stay positive. I need you to step up and maybe cook one meal a week for me. Or for the family,
okay.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Do you imagine anything differently?
Yeah, it might be a less wishy-washy response. It might be, well, okay, instead of I suppose or maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that. If I'm more direct, then the response I get is probably going to be more direct.
Right. Wishy-washy. If you're wishy-washy with the request, then the answer may be the same.
Right, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Christine, what works best for you, when you write things down or when you practice them out loud?
A little bit of both, I think. I'm kind of a writer down sort of a person, I guess. I guess I lean towards more towards the writing than the out loud practicing.
Could that be helpful?
Yeah, it definitely might be. I hadn't thought of using writing to that end, and it certainly might be.
Well, you like to write.
I do.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. So you're doing something that you like to do, and you see it there on paper, and it becomes real, and you can practice it, and then what do you think would happen?
Probably I would get more comfortable with it and be able to ask more directly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think you could do now, if we're considering just one thing that you could start right away? What would that be?
Okay, well, I like your writing suggestion of writing things down. If nothing else, it would be an outlet for my frustrations, maybe, even if it
mm-hmm.
accomplished nothing else. I think it would be effective
mm-hmm.
in that capacity.
And
mm-hmm. I think I can also be direct. I get overly concerned with keeping the peace, trying to make sure everyone is happy, and maybe I need to be more direct in addressing any
mm-hmm.
issue I have.
So
I think that's two things.
Down. Write it down to validate. I mean, you are doing a lot. So you're writing it down to validate, and then you're writing down what it is that you're going to say based on what it is that you need.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So could you start that when?
I would probably start that later on tonight.
Okay. All right, good. That might be a really great outlet for you to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you see it on paper and then start to value what it is that you do. So is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that's my primary issue today.
Okay. Can I just go back and just to make sure that I have been some help to you?
Sure.
You have a lot going on. You try your very best to stay positive and upbeat, even with frustrations that you're feeling, but there are other frustrations in the house, and in the past, you felt a responsibility to keep everybody upbeat, and now it's a time for you that you actually need to support yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. That sums it up beautifully.
So what you decided would be helpful for you is to write down what it is you need, practice asking for it.
Yeah, and to be very direct in that asking.
And to be direct, because if it is a vague, maybe, type of a request, then there'll be a vague, maybe, type of answer.
Yep, and you actually have been very helpful with helping me clarify that. Sometimes I don't ask for what I need.
Mm-hmm. I can hear that. I just want to ask one more question.
Sure.
Who do you think is the most important person in that house to make happy?
I feel like everybody should be happy in the house. But probably the only person whose happiness I can actually do anything about is my own.
Yes. And I have one more question.
Okay.
Do you feel deserving of that?
I do.
Good. You absolutely are.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies, we're going to have to wrap up.
I just wanted to tell Christine how much I have enjoyed getting to know you via phone, and I just wish you every success. You're just a really exceptional person, and I think you deserve all of this.
Well, thank you very much. It means a lot, and it's something I needed to hear today, so thank you.
I mean it. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, ladies. If you would place yourselves on mute, please. And I'd like to ask Janie to facilitate our discussion on feedback, what you heard that worked, what are maybe some areas of growth to look at for Joyce. Jamie, are you there?
I'm sorry, I was double muted.
Double muted? Wow, that we really can't hear you then.
I started to say before I unmuted myself twice that I really felt like that was really well done. From the get-go, I heard Joyce. The greeting was very warm. It was upbeat, and I felt like Joyce picked up on Christine's tone immediately in their initial greeting and kind of shifted her method and invited Christine to ground. And then she moved right. Joyce moved right into specifying Christine's agenda, and Christine, you know, started talking about the brainstorming ways to stay positive and struggling and the frustration. Joyce, I felt, picked up very skillfully and on kind of the underlying mood and tone, and moved very well, again, I heard, in determining useful interventions, in asking some, I, again, felt powerful questions to try and understand better what the context of Christine's familial situation is, and got down to Christine's role of kind of holding it all together. And then, again, I heard Joyce really ask some questions that I felt were offering Christine to kind of shift her perspective about how that old way of being might be challenged. And I felt like the best part was, and I wrote bingo on my notes, when Christine realized that through Joyce's questioning that she needed something that she wasn't getting. And then the session really started, again, for me, it moved, it shifted right there. and began to move into what new behaviors could Christine enact and how could she support herself in being able to practice something new within this situation. And I also felt like, so that was, I felt the session was framed really well. And she, Joyce utilized asking Christine to imagine what this might look like and then asked her to find something specific, some specific tool that might support her in being able to work out this new behavior. And then the follow-up was very clear to me and also very well done, all the way to reiterating the entire session. And again, I heard in Christine's voice a sense that she, that Joyce had really heard Christine. That really, really came through for me. And the last question, who is the most important person in the house to make happy, I thought was just a nice way of affirming kind of the whole session. I really thought it was very, very well done. I don't have any major suggestions. Good job.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Again, another great example of listening. And I love when the facilitator is listening for, that's what we're all doing. We've all been in this role, the five steps of the simple coaching model, because that's really what we're honing in on in this 12 weeks. And to have that down, it just moves in a sense of flow in a certain, you know, trajectory with your clients. So thanks for using that as part of your feedback. I would like to add in my insights. I thought it was a great start to the conversation in the coaching session, just a really clear reflection to Christine's agenda. Joyce, just by your very nature, you come across as super nurturing. So you bring that energy to the call. And it sounded like, and I can't speak for Christine, but that it sounded like she felt safe enough to step into something that was really, really tugging at her heartstrings today and pulling at her energy. And I think you provided the safe container for Christine to show up authentically. And she really wanted some coaching around this because this is something that's real in her life and that she's struggling with in this moment. I want you all to write this down. This is the best phrase ever in coaching. Tell me more. Tell me more. Can you say more? Right? So you're engaging the client in more dialogue around them fleshing out more of what they just said. And it's a great place for them to put some language around things that they may not have been able to before. So tell me more. You said that, and I just wanted everyone to highlight and bullet point and star that phrase. I thought you did a great job of asking powerful questions. One of the best ones that I heard was, how do you stay positive? So you were allowing Christine to share the places that she feels positive, whether it's her meditation, yoga practice, her writing, just as gentle reminders of the tools that she already has, the resources that she has to possibly come back to in times like these where she's feeling, you know, where she's really struggling. And when Christine did mention something, I don't know the exact words about that she is struggling, what I would have done there is asked, it's just a suggestion, what's the struggle? So to just sort of get beneath that surface layer of conversation, and don't be, for all of us, this is not just directed to Joyce, this is directed to the entire group. Don't be afraid or don't be fearful to go into those places where emotion may come up. So we talked a lot in the beginning of our program what coaching is and what coaching is not. But it's not a place to say, no, we can't talk about emotion. You know, that's therapy. That's not the case. I want to clarify that we are, emotion is just energy in motion, right? We are emotional human beings. Things affect us, right? So if you feel and you're in tune with and want to know more about something that you fear might bring up some emotion, I challenge you to explore that with your client. So I would have said, what is the struggle? To maybe distill more about what's really affecting Christine in this way. Just a suggestion. And I just thought it was a resounding yes, because it was going through my brain when you, Joyce, made the suggestion of, well, it sounds like coaching when you're talking to these people in your life. You know, how can you use the skills that you just learned over the last 12 weeks to create a conversation in that way where people don't feel attacked, but yet you are sharing your needs? And so asking powerful questions and listening. And I thought that was a great option. It didn't sound like Christine was too down with it, but it's okay. It sounded like what resonated most was where you got to eventually with the writing, which is a great suggestion, the asking directly. I thought it was an aha moment for when Christine says, I don't ask for what I need. That's powerful. I don't ask for what I need. And so just creating some changes around that. You, Joyce, I thought you did a great job, summarizing, but just know that the summary is not necessary. I would like for the coach to ask the client to, like, how did this session feel for you? What did you get out of it? What are you committed to doing between now and the next time that we speak? So inciting them to come up with language. Your summary was spot on, but there's really no necessity to summarize. You can do the reflection in the beginning, but at the end, what you're really trying to do is move them into action and finding out when you can check in with Christine. She said she was going to do it later tonight to ask directly for what she wants, but then have her come up with, I am a committed to statement, and then ask her when you can check in with her to see if she followed through on that commitment. Okay. All right, we are running short on time here. So briefly, Joyce, how did that feel to you? Briefly.
Well, it felt like I flubbed around a bit, that I'm used to doing personal, like looking at the person versus on the phone. I felt a little rough, but I was really able to listen to Christine, and I felt her. I mean, I really felt what she was trying to say. So, yeah, I was rough. I was rough, but I think we communicated. I mean, I really felt that she is going to do this.
Mm. Yes, so, I think you guys communicated very, very well. And don't beat yourself up, because you did a lot of things really, really well. So just look at those other areas as places for growth.
No, thank you so much for the suggestions, too. That is, like, to say, what's the struggle? And I also understand about not me telling her what I heard her say, but her actually repeating it. But thank
Great.
You.
You're welcome. Thank you. Christine, what worked? What could you or would you have wanted more of, briefly?
I thought Joyce was great. She was very nurturing, and she was very intuitive. I always try to show up authentically, but I'm also very conscious of not being perceived as a complainer. And so she was spot on. She knew what I was trying to say, and I was trying to say it without sounding complainy and whiny and, oh, you know, I'm so unhappy with my life. I didn't want to, I don't try not to present myself that way because it's negative and it just makes me feel negative. So I thought she was great. And I actually like her summary at the end, even though it might have been unnecessary. I really felt, okay, she really heard me. She understood exactly what I was trying to say.
Great. And then this context that we're working in and the time frame, it's just a suggestion, but you can design how you work with your clients on your own, right? This is just, we're just practicing here. So if it landed with you and you've got that rapport and that works, then maybe that's something that is brought to every call. One other thing that I wanted to mention that I forgot to is don't forget to pull in what you already know, coaches, about yoga and the somatic experience and checking in. Sometimes we can be heady in our discussions and in our feedback and in our ability to think of ways to change what we're feeling. So asking your client, you know, to take a moment, to take a breath, to close their eyes and take a pause. And how did that land in your body? Where did you feel that? Just a reminder of some other tools that we have to make this, you know, a somatic experience as well, keeping the yoga piece there. Okay, great. So I don't want to rush. I want to give everyone some airtime. We have 5 minutes left, actually four, and I want to give each of you 1 minute or less to just any closing remarks, and then I'll give my final. Actually, 30 seconds. That's all we have time for. 30 seconds if you're feeling the need to share anything else that you haven't already shared at the beginning. One gem.
It's Sue. I would just like to close with gratitude, and I wish all of us the very best. And thank you, Sasha.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks for being so succinct. Anybody jump in there?
It's Joyce. I just wanted to say thank you so much. I feel like we're all on our way. I'm going to miss everyone. Hopefully we can stay in touch, and I wish everyone great success.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joyce.
Yeah, this has been a wonderful time together. I've appreciated lots of different perspectives, and I'm excited. I'm excited for all of us that we're taking this perspective into the world, this sort of yoga perspective and coaching. And there's one quote from the book that Jung stated, which I just love. He said, "Some problems cannot be solved. They have to be outlived."
Like that. Yeah. Powerful. Thank you, Randy.
I just wanted to thank everybody, too, and Sasha. It really has been wonderful and very, very worthwhile. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Christine?
Yep. No, I just basically the same thing that everyone else has said. This has been a wonderful class, and it's felt tremendously supportive, and I feel like I've learned a lot.
Thank you. Genevieve, I know you may still be on the train. I don't know if you can try to speak, but I want to include you if you're able. Maybe not. I think the BART probably has a lot of people. Okay. All right. Well, I will give some closing comments here just to start off by saying I am so proud and impressed with all of you, your growth from week 1 to week 12, spanning 2 countries, Guatemala and the United States, and I can just, this part of my passion is witnessing the tremendous growth and expansion in people, both on and off the mat, and supporting them and knowing that they are resourced, and knowing that if we step into the work, there is absolutely nothing that we can't do. And it's people like you that make such a difference in individually and then collectively in making great changes in this world. So I wish you all the best on this path. I hope that all of you will continue to move forward. If this is this kind of work is something you want to call in to your life, I will always be available to you. Just because we're done here doesn't mean we're done communicating. So I'm accessible. You know where to find me, and please don't hesitate to reach out. Just so much gratitude for this opportunity to lead you and to guide you and to mentor you, and just to hear again how much you are resonating with the work. And I just hope that you go out in the world and make a difference to people, and you know, really claim this as your work in the world, and as a supplement to what you already do, or maybe full time. So after we're done with this call, the email's already ready to go. I just have to press send. You'll be receiving your final exam, and I would like that back no later than 1 week from today, which is November 18th. You're certainly welcome to return it anytime before that date. It's open book. And then I will take a look at it, send it back if I need any more clarification, and I will identify those areas that I do need clarification. And then in a separate email, please send me the documentation of your 20 coaching sessions. And once I have that and I've looked at your exam, then I will pass it along to Bernadette, who's in our support area, and she will send you your certificate as well as opportunities for other opportunities with the Coach Training Alliance, like what's next and continuing education and being involved in other programs. There's also a place on the exam to give your feedback around the program, around my work, around whatever calls to you. So feel free to spend some time there. And that's really all I have. So unless there are any other questions, great. You've been a wonderful group to work with. I wish you so much of everything that you're wishing for yourself on your path. And with much love and many blessings, take very good care. Namaste.
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 Bye. Thanks so much. It's been a great class.
Thanks.